Hello, I'm Royce Gomez, founder of Royce Talks and the host of Thrive, A Woman's Journey to Victory. I've been recognized as a leading authority for coaching and training entrepreneurs and executives, speaking to audiences in the U.S. and around Europe. I am the author of two new books, The Secret of Leadership, Leading to Your Maximum Potential, and The 27 Secrets of Marketing, Your Ticket to Maximum Revenue, endorsed by Kevin Harrington, Brian Tracy, and others. I have effectively coached successful business owners and written content for hundreds of companies. Today on my show, we have Matt Weston, and although not a female who has gone from adversity to victory, he is part of our special singer-songwriter series that we are in the midst of, and he does have a story where he has truly overcome tragedy in his life and overcome it and put it into the passion of his music. So I am so thrilled to welcome Matt Weston to Thrive today. Hello, Matt.
Hi, how are you doing?
Very good, thank you.
Good, it's great to be with you today.
So before you share about the tragedy with your father, can you go back to just your background in your childhood and how you grew up and when music became an influence to you?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, music has always been a part of my life since I was a little boy because I played different instruments, you know, in the band and orchestra. And one of my earliest memories of music, I was about 3 years old. My dad had bought me a cassette of some of Elvis's greatest hits. And I remember sitting in the middle of my bedroom floor listening to it and just like in awe. And that was probably my first memory with regards to music, and it was tied to my father just as it is today. Growing up, I played different instruments, and then I didn't really find my passion for singing until probably about college. I couldn't sing. I couldn't carry a tune in a bucket, I say, when I was a kid. I wasn't a very good singer, but I worked at it, and I pretty much taught myself by emulating guys like Frank Sinatra or Garth Brooks or Johnny Cash, just a variety of guys. And I found my voice. And now music is one of the main focuses of my life. So growing up, I wasn't pursuing music. I'd actually gone to college for engineering, and I worked as an engineer for a while. And I was just miserable. You know, living in a cubicle wasn't for me. And I was miserable, so when I lost my job, I decided I'm not going back. And I moved to Los Angeles for a little while to pursue acting, which has been a passion of mine as well. But about the time that I moved out to Los Angeles, my father got sick. He came down with leukemia. So I was back and forth a lot to Pittsburgh, where I'm from. And I never really got settled in Los Angeles. And unfortunately, he ended up passing away. And I moved back home because I was a mess. I was completely devastated and lost. And I just wanted to be around my family. So I was lost and I didn't know what I was going to do. Acting was on the back burner. Engineering was a thing of the past. And I didn't know what I was going to do. But just somehow, I describe it as almost a spiritual experience. One day, I just knew in my heart and soul that I had to record an album and honor my father with it, because he had always encouraged my music, even since I was a little boy. So I figured, what better way to honor him than to dedicate my album to him? And it was a huge part of my healing process as well. Because I was depressed. I was in a dark place, and it wasn't easy to be around. You know, I was angry, and I didn't know. I was becoming a little bit self-destructive, but I was lucky that I was able to turn it around into something productive. And in the end, I honor my father, and I help others with my story. So, you know, there's a silver lining to the tragedy, and I guess that's part of the reason why I'm here talking with you today. So that's, it all works out in the end.
Yeah, and your story is so much like the stories of some of my other guests that resonate with my listeners, you know, of pursuing engineering and knowing it's really not your calling and your passion, and working through a tragedy to find your passion and redirect that energy to something powerful and something that will impact lives. And those stories of the lyrics in your song will continue to impact lives and help resonate with those who have lost parents and struggled in some of the same ways you have.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I named my my album Legacy, because, you know, it's honoring my father's legacy, but it's also beginning my legacy. So it's just all kind of starting to come full circle for me. And I'm just really excited to see where it takes me. I just wish my dad was here for me to share it with him, you know. But I know he's proud. I know he's proud.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said that your family wasn't supportive when you first left engineering, but they turned into your biggest fans. Can you share a little bit about that? Because I know you're not the only musician or entrepreneur who has struggled with that and heard that story in their own lives.
Right. Well, that's absolutely true. I think a lot of artists and anybody that tries to do something that they want to do, other people seem to have an issue with it. But that's kind of how I grew up. I was a people pleaser, and you know, I was good in school. So it just kind of made sense to take the opportunity and go to engineering school. I was accepted into Carnegie Mellon University, which is one of the best schools in the world, really.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandfather, who's still around, he's 93, he went there when it was Carnegie Tech, and my grandmother went there. They met there. She was the first woman accepted into the chemistry school there back, I'm guessing back in like the early 40s or late 30s. And so they were just so proud of me going to engineering school, and I'm going to be, you know, chip off the old block. Well, you know, I did it. I graduated and I worked as an engineer, but I was absolutely miserable. And my parents could tell, but, you know, they came up in the world where you have to work and, you know, just raise a family. It's kind of a cookie cutter, you know, just way of living your life. And I just wasn't happy. So when I decided to walk away, I had a lot of backlash from my family. They were like, what are you going to do? How are you going to support yourself? You wasted all this time in school. Well, when they start to see how much happier I am, and then they start to see that I actually do have potential and talent, and then they love my work, they start getting excited. And eventually, my family came around and ended up being my biggest supporter. And it's a really good feeling to overcome that obstacle because, like I said, growing up, I was always a people pleaser, especially for my family. I wanted to make them proud, you know, especially my mom and dad. And, you know, my mom cried a good bit when I told her that I was done with engineering. But now, you know, they're all proud and excited to see where it takes me. So I couldn't be happier with that. And just I'm very proud. It just takes courage. And I would just say to any artist out there, anybody who's trying to go out on their own path, you have to stay true to yourself, no matter what kind of resistance you get, because you are created this way for a reason. You're supposed to be who you're created to be, in my opinion. Like, that's where you'll be blessed, instead of pretending to be something you're not. So stay true to yourself is one of the biggest things that I've learned over the past few years, to be honest with you, through the process of losing my dad and creating this album. It's just become so much more important to be true to myself. So, yeah, but you're right. I think a lot of artists and entrepreneurs can relate to that. So, you know, here I am, and I'm proud of it. It was not easy.
Well, Matt, thanks for sharing those words of wisdom. I, as an entrepreneur and many people I know, have heard those same questions and fears and doubts from our family of how are you going to make a living? And then, you know, when we find success and happiness and true joy in life, following our passion, they are happy for us, and of course they love us and become our biggest supporters, but it's hard to understand when we're different and fight the odds of that normal family. You know, you're from Pittsburgh and I'm from a Midwestern steel town that had a large dependency on the auto industry, and so you went to work in the factory, got a good job, 40 years, gold watch retirement, and a pension, and you can relate, can't you?
yeah, absolutely. That's the way my family is, too, you know, blue-collar family.
So. Yeah, we just don't fit that mold, and I like what I found in an interview with you a while back, and you said march to the beat of your own drummer and be who you were created to be. And you were asked in this interview, who do you aspire to be like one day? And you said, I just want to be me. And obviously, when you talk about Johnny Cash, Garth Brooks, and Frank Sinatra, they all have very different sounds, but they are all super successful and iconic in their own genres. So you have truly carved out what it's like to be you. Can you share a little bit more about that story and that journey in your musical career?
Sure.
You've addressed the family impact, but how did it shape your music?
Well, I've always enjoyed, just about every genre of music throughout life. You know, and that's why, you know, Frank Sinatra was the guy who taught me, basically, but I sing country music, so go figure. But I think it took years of practicing and having fun singing in karaoke bars and singing with my cousin's band, which is a rock band, for me to really find my voice. And I think as I got older, into my 20s, and you know, I start to relate more to country music because it always tells a story. You know, that's the kind of country music that I like. It tells a story. It's probably one of the most wholesome genres of music left out there, to be honest. And you know, I'm a man of faith, so you know, that's always welcomed in country music. And my voice fits country music. It just kind of fit. So through the path of just, you know, playing in band and orchestra and listening to all different types of music and just singing, having fun, I found my voice. And then when I went into the recording studio, I was a pretty good singer, but when I came out of the recording studio, I was on a different level than when I went in. And that was, there was great coaching. I was coached so well by my producer, Brian Cole, who's just an awesome guy. Love him to death. And he really helped me to find my voice even on a deeper level. And I think my sound kind of incorporates a little bit of all of my influences. You know, I love traditional country and outlaw country. I'm not so much a fan of today's pop country, but my album, you know, it has something for everyone. You know, if you like old school country or if you like rock country, kind of like Toby Keith or a Garth Brooks type thing, or even modern country, there's something in there that you can find and attach yourself to. So, you know, by being true to myself and by creating music that I would want to hear, it came through in the music itself, and it really painted a picture of who I am as a man and as an artist with this album. I couldn't be more proud of this album. I think we knocked it out of the park, you know, just for my debut album. It's going to be tough to top that one, but you know, I'm working towards that right now. But it's definitely, and I will evolve as an artist. I think that's probably expected for anybody in this field. So I'm looking forward to seeing how it changes and how I grow.
Yeah, and I would agree that you knocked it out of the park, and you have just amazing talent, and I've thoroughly enjoyed getting familiar with your music, and I'm looking forward to hearing more of it. I always like to ask artists to dig into the story behind their music, and you've alluded to the fact that Legacy, the entire album, is a tribute to your dad. But after I thank my commercial sponsors, I would like you to share more about those personal stories that you've written in the songs, if you would be so kind to to do that and really get vulnerable and share your heart, Matt. Would you be kind enough to do that after my commercial break?
Sure thing.
Okay. My first sponsor is Veru Virtual Assistants. Being a business owner and entrepreneur comes with an insurmountable amount of tasks and often leads to overwhelm, frustration, and burnout. Cue Veru Virtual Assistants. We come in as a unique team member to complete tasks as they are given, providing around-the-clock assistance, quick turnarounds, and high-quality work. Here at Veru, we will make being an entrepreneur fun again. Delegate your workload so you can focus on what really matters in your business, growing. You can find out more about them at virtualassistantsrue.com or call them at 360-797-5676. My next sponsor is Pivot Business Consulting. Pivot Business Consulting facilitates training and coaching in leadership development, team communication, and team building. Intern Pursuit, a subsidiary of Pivot, matches students to employers like Match.com using a proprietary algorithm and assessments, helping employers document interns' tasks. Contact them at pivotbusinessconsulting.com or call 321-422-2166. And now back to my very special guest, Matt Weston. And Matt, I asked you before the commercial break to share some stories of how the songs came about on your album Legacy. Mm-hmm. And I would like you to just dive in and give us a behind-the-scenes look at the lyrics.
Sure. Well, the album, it's really interesting how no song on the album sounds like another one. They're all pretty unique, but somehow they all fit together. And I think that happened because everything about this album really reflects my heart and my thoughts and where I was mentally and emotionally at the time. Now, when I went about creating this album, it was relatively recently after my father had passed away. So I was still, deep in the pits of depression. And I could not for the life of me create anything, like write a song that was going to be uplifting. I was just so down. I couldn't take my own advice. So what we did is my producer, he hooked me up with some amazing, amazing songwriters and publishers. And I personally went through, I don't know, probably a couple dozen different songs. And I handpicked the ones that meant the most to me, that I related to, and ones that reflected what I wanted to accomplish in this album. And I was so blessed to work with some really amazing people to create what I think is just the total package when it comes to what I was trying to accomplish with this album. We did it. And the songs all reflect just reality, like, and a lot about what my father was about, especially, a certain song, my first single called Our Redneck of the Woods. Mm-hmm. It's a rock and country song, but it really celebrates everything that I love about country music and everything that my father instilled in me, raising me to be a man. And, it talks about God and country and family and working hard and helping other people, being proud of where you're from and standing up for what you believe in, just really classic values that I think, I had to communicate if I wanted to capture the essence of the kind of guy that my dad is or was. And the song You Don't Feel the Rain describes a kind of love that unless you experience it yourself, words really just don't explain. And that's the kind of love that my dad had for his family, just very just selfless, and he really broke his body for his family, and it was unconditional love, and that's how You know, I think of my father. And the song Southerly, I wanted to paint a picture of almost like heaven. You know, there's church bells and there's a gospel choir, and it's a country song, but and unless you really listen to the lyrics, you would think it was a gospel song. But I wanted to kind of paint a picture of going home finally. And that's why that's the last song on the album, actually, because it painted that picture of heaven, and I know that that's where my father is. You know, he was a man of faith, and it's so powerful. Music is one of the most powerful things in the world, and I'm learning that more all the time, because not only can it heal you, it can take you on a trip, you know, to the past, to time travel, and I define eras of my life by what I listened to at the time. And now I get to be on the soundtrack to someone's life. And I think that's just so incredible and powerful. But all these songs, just together and individually, all represent something that, you know, is real in my life or in my heart and in my emotions. And I think it's the perfect tribute to my dad. There were a lot of tears that went into creating this album. Actually, when I finished the lead vocals after, it had been close to a year off and on that we had worked on it. And when I finished the lead vocals and I took the headphones off, I had to go outside and take a walk and just kind of cry it out. You know, I had to let it out. And just, you know, thank God and talk to my dad and just say, like, this is a milestone and, you know, this is for you. And just be, this whole thing, it really comes from a place of gratitude. There's nothing about this album that isn't from the heart. So I hope that it comes through when people listen to it, and that they can identify with it on some kind of a deeper level than just, you know, tapping their feet and, you know, clicking their thumbs and enjoying the music. So that's one of the greatest things about music, is you really do affect people on a deep level. And I'm honored to be a part of that now. It's really kind of surreal because I'm new to this, you know, and I just can't wait to perform for the people and, you know, make new fans and just really connect with people and help them. I love to encourage and inspire people. So my second album, I'm already writing the songs for that. My first album, there was no way I could have written it. I was just not mentally or emotionally in a place where I could have done it. So, but the second album, I'm already working on. So it's exciting stuff, but it's draining emotionally, to be honest with you. Is sometimes it's kind of hard to talk about too. So I have so many thoughts in my head. It was just such a crazy period in my life. So it's hard to kind of sum up in a short conversation, but I'm doing my best.
You're doing a great job. And thanks for sharing the backstory behind the lyrics. That's really one of my favorite parts of sitting down with musicians, is hearing how their heart comes out in the songwriting. And so you're doing a wonderful job of sharing, Matt, and unfortunately I could go on for hours with you, literally, because I just love hearing singer-songwriters share their stories and their music. And hopefully one day I'll get to hear you play live, but I know I've downloaded several of your songs. Yeah, it would be awesome.
Well, thank you.
Now, you have been recognized in Europe, and I get the fortune of traveling to Europe to speak in the fall to some executive groups. And you were single, Our Redneck of the Woods, topped the European Country Music Association charts. Share with us where you're headed along with releasing the second album. What else is on the horizon for you as we close?
Right. Well, I was in the last, I think, the top five for an award. I forget the name of the organization. But I nominated for male country art or vocalist of the year. And I'll find out about whether I win or not in October. So that's great. I'm honored to even be nominated. Let's see. Well, I'm I was just in Nashville, just got back, was down there working with some writers and meeting with some people and some publishers, and just trying to get the next step in my career moving forward. And I may be moving to Nashville before the end of the year, actually, just because I want to surround myself with like-minded people so that my career can stay on track and just keep progressing. So the career is going very well. I'm getting, like you said, a lot of recognition and great reviews, and I couldn't be more honored and more humbled by the feedback and the response that I've gotten. And really, the sky's the limit, I think. I'd like to get out there and perform live for people, and just continue to build that fan base. And in the meantime, I'm already writing for my second album, so I hope to start working on producing that album, hopefully before the end of the year or before the winter's over. So I want to stay fresh, I want to stay relevant. I think that's kind of important. So even if I don't have a whole album released yet, and maybe I'll just do a single or two, but I'm just continuing to move onward and upward, and I'm hoping to make a living doing this because it makes me so happy. And
Yeah.
I love talking with people about it too. So and thank you for having me on your show. I really appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. And Nashville is such a great city. I've spent some time there, and I'm long overdue for another trip there just to hang out and catch the energy of all the singer-songwriters there. So I wish you the best
Yeah.
in your career, and
Thank you.
I hope you'll keep in touch with me, and I know our listeners will want to keep in touch with you and hear some of your music. So would you share where they can find you online?
For sure. Well, my website is mattwestin.com. That's MATTWESTIN.com. And I'm on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and you can find my music on iTunes and Amazon, Spotify, and all those other online retailers. I'm just about everywhere. So basically, the simplest way to do it is just Google me, probably, and I'll pop right up. There are links on my website to all those other places that you can find me. So it's not too hard to find me.
Perfect. Well, thanks for joining me on Thrive, A Woman's Journey to Victory during this very special singer-songwriter series and really sharing your heart and being vulnerable with our listeners, Matt. It's been my
Well,
pleasure to have you.
the pleasure's all mine. Thank you so much.
You are welcome. Well, you can find Matt online, and you can find me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn at Royce Gomez or Royce Talks. So feel free to connect with me more there or go on RoyceTalks.com, which is the easiest way to connect with me. Thank you so much for joining us, and I look forward to seeing you next time on Thrive.